Welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor David Hall. If you'd like to find out more about David or to keep up to date with his ministry, you can visit davidhall.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
I want to look at the faithfulness of God. How many know that God is faithful? How many believe that we serve a faithful God this morning? Well, I want to have a look in the Word today. And in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 9, it says this. It says, God is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. You need to get that in your spirit today, that God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what? Is faithful. We serve a faithful God. Just this week, I got a text message from Susie Welshman and with a link to one of my favorite songs. And the song is called Faithful God. We've sung it many, many times in our church. Faithful God, all-sufficient one. I worship you, shalom, my peace, my strong deliverer. And whatever the rest of the lines are, they're beautiful. But I want to say this. In my spirit all week, I've been believing God that he is going to speak into this house a fresh revelation of his faithfulness towards us. And often we preach about what we should do for God. Today I want to preach about what God does for you. And God is faithful. It's who he is. It's his nature. God is a faithful God. And I've been studying this message, and I came across a story, and it's actually quite beautiful. But in the country of Armenia in 1988, there was a couple by the name of Samuel and Danielle. Well, bless Jesus. Samuel and Danielle sent their young son, Armand, off to school. And Samuel squatted and looked his son in the eye, said to his son, have a great day at school, and sent him off to school in a classroom of 15 kids. And during that day, there was an explosion. And as a result of an earthquake, there was an explosion. And it caused the walls of the school to collapse, and it collapsed on itself. And so what happened was, it was almost obvious to everybody that every child without doubt would have been killed in that earthquake and because of the explosion. And so everyone gathered around, the fire brigade got there, people got there, and mums and dads are crying when they got there, hopeless. And the father of Armand wouldn't grieve, and he wouldn't lay flowers. He wasn't taking photos of his kid and putting it there in mourning. He just made a decision. He's going to start getting bricks off the building, off the rubble. So he starts going into the rubble. The fire brigade came in to help him. And then they said, look, there is just no point. We know there's no life. It is impossible. So he said, you know what? I'm going to keep going. So he starts pulling the rubble, and a couple of people started helping him. And then he hears this voice from under the rubble. He hears this voice go, Papa! And he realizes it's the voice of his son. And he said, come out, son. And his son said, no, let the other kids come out first, because I know you'll get me. Child after child emerged, until finally little Armand appeared. Samuel took him in his arms, and Armand said, I told the other kids not to worry because you told me that you'd always be there for me. Isn't that beautiful? And I want to tell you something. That's an earthly father. How much more is our Father in heaven? He dug through the rubble to pull you out of the darkness. He dug through the rubble and pulled you out of the clutches of this earth and of this world and set your feet on solid ground. We have a God who is faithful. We have a God who cares and loves us and has a plan for our life. And today I want to speak into your spirit and remind you today that even in the storm, even when things go wrong, even when it seems impossible, God is faithful. I know some people that are going through storms today, sitting in this service today. And I even had someone from church sort of talk to me this week just about a storm that they're facing, and just saying, you know, where's God in it? I love God. Why is this happening? And the truth is, even though we experience storms, and there are hard times, no one can ever tell you that becoming a Christian guarantees ease from any problem or any challenge. This is a hard road. This is not an easy walk. It's a tough walk, and it's built for tough people like you and I, who have a backbone and can endure and square our shoulders and be all who God's called us to be. But the bottom line is, yes, life stinks at times, but do you know something? How much worse would it be without Him present in our storm? I think too often we look at our storm and see how bad it is. Yes, still standing because He's faithful. You're still alive because He's faithful. He's with you. Come on, church, if you believe it, can you give God a shout? If you believe we serve a faithful God. And this morning, for some of you, when you're clapping, you're agreeing, but you don't necessarily feel the faithfulness of God. Oh, I want to tell you today that even if you can't see it, even if circumstances are telling you something else, He's with you. He's for you. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. And I've come to tell you today, the gospel's good news. The Bible says, Jesus even said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the good news. And I can tell you, a big part of the good news, and it may not be summed up in this language when Jesus preached it, but the gospel, more than anything else, is about a God who is faithful, and He's faithful to you today. Faithful enough to send His Son Jesus that you might have life. Talk about the faithfulness of God. Man, I'm preaching myself. Happy today. I ripped a hole in my jeans when I was in New Zealand because they told me it was cool. Now my knees are cold. Let me give you some scripture here this morning. Exodus 34, verse 6 says, "The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Deuteronomy 7:9, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations." Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, "He is the rock. His works are perfect. All of His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is He." Psalm 25, verse 10, it says, "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful." You put all these verses together, you start to realize that God doesn't act faithfully. God is faithful. God does not just show love. He is love. God doesn't just be good. He is good. And we've got to understand that the faithfulness of God is not just what He does, it is who He is. We serve a faithful God. If you believe that this morning, can you say amen? And so I want to say this to you today, that faithfulness is at the very core of the nature of God. There are attributes that define that God is who He says He is. He is omnipotent, He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, He's eternal, He is self-existent, He's immutable, He's awesome, He's phenomenal. There's no one like Him. He doesn't need anything to sustain Him. He just is God. But in hearing all that and knowing all that, we have to understand that in the bigness of who He is, all of these beautiful attributes that make God God are the reason that He is steadfast in His faithfulness towards us. Sometimes it doesn't just happen in a split second. These things can take time, but God is faithful. Oh man, today, when you're a pastor and you study these things, sometimes you think we just know everything, and we're reminded of this all the time. Studying this blessed my spirit, because it's just a good reminder to me. God, You're faithful. God, even in this church, You're faithful. God, You're faithful. God, we trust You. And you know, today, we can trust God for whatever we face, because in it, He's faithful. The word faithful, really to sum up, means many, many things. But if I could sum it up the best I can, is you can totally rely on Him because He'll never fail you. And let me say this, if He is faithful, you can have faith in Him, because His faithfulness connects with your faith, and you understand you can hold on to a God who does not move, He does not shake. He is the head, He is the King of an unshakable kingdom, the kingdom of God, in Jesus' name. And I love this, and even Paul in the New Testament, he when he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I have not preached many messages around the prophet Jeremiah. I mean, Jeremiah, Zechariah, there were no prophets like him. They were unbelievable. But Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And he lamented from time to time. And so they wrote a book called the Book of Lamentations. When I was a kid, I thought it was the Book of Lamentations. The Book of Lamentation. I feel like a Lamington now that I've said that. But if you take the Book of Lamentations, you can also say that Jeremiah, he was the pin-up boy for the Book of Lamentations. So he lamented. He had nine lamentations. They were quite intense. He lamented heavily. And so I want to have a look at a piece of scripture here in the Book of Lamentations. Turn to the Book of Lamentations, friends. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Let's have a look at chapter 3. I want to go through these verse by verse for just a couple of moments. In the first 20 verses of Lamentations chapter 3, he has about 9 complaints. And let's have a look at these. Verse 1, he says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. That's a good start. And basically saying God's angry. So that was his first complaint, God's angry. Then he says, he has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. He feels like God's angry. It feels like he's in the dark. Then he says, surely he has turned his hand against me time and time throughout the day. He feels like God's against him. Has anyone ever felt like God's mad at you? Has anyone ever felt like you're just in the dark, you're not hearing from God? You feel like God's even against you. He's not, but sometimes our mind and spirit play tricks on us. It says, he's aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me. It's quite amazing. He's basically saying sickness has come against me. I'm tormented mentally and physically. He talks about how he's surrounded by bitterness. It says here in verse 5, he's surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He's set me in dark places like the dead long ago. He's hedged me in it so I cannot get out, and he's made my chain heavy. And he's basically saying he's tormented, but he can't find release from the torment that he's in. Some of you, so you're having a bad day. I understand that people experience hell on earth. I'm not trying to preach a fluffy sermon that if you do two things or these three things, everything's going to be okay, because sometimes it's not. Sometimes life just is a mongrel. Is anyone going to say amen to that this morning? I know we've got to be faith people. Our life's never a mongrel. Yeah, it is. I don't know what, man, if life's never been a mongrel for you, flip. Doesn't look good. Is this faith building, or should I just move on? Let's move on. And then he goes and he says, he can't find a release. And then he goes on to say, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. That's a big stone. Not just a stone, a hewn stone. It's a larger end of stone. That's borderline rock right there. Basically, he's saying, I cry out for help. My prayers go unanswered. How many people have ever experienced that? You feel like God's just not hearing your prayers. You feel like, God, I'm praying. I feel shut out. I feel, don't put that on God, but I'm just saying, we feel like that from time to time. He goes on to say that in verse, where are we? We are in verse somewhere around there. He has been like a bear in waiting. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. Verse 14 says, I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all day. That's a bad day where they're not just giving you a hard time, they've written a song. And they're singing it all day long, just standing there, Jeremiah, silly Jeremiah. After a while, you're having a bad day, and then people start composing songs. He has also broken my teeth with gravel. Look, I just want to build your faith here today. You might feel like your teeth have been broken with gravel today. Keep in mind, he's saying this figuratively. He's not saying God has physically broken his teeth. You have removed my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I've said my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. So he's being quite negative. He's really sharing what he's truly feeling. He's saying God's mad at me. You might feel today that God's mad at you. You might feel today like you're in the dark. You might feel today that God's against you. You might feel today that you have mental and physical pain. You might feel today that you can't find release from the challenges that you are in. You might feel like your prayers aren't being answered, that people don't understand you. You're ready to go up. You feel like your hope is gone. And I love this because it goes on in verse 20. He says, remember my affliction, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and it sinks within me. But listen to this, verse 21. What we have to understand is we can say all of those things, feeling all of those things. It is fine and it is okay to feel those things. It is okay to feel like God has let you down. It is okay to feel like things are against you. But the problem is when faith kicks in, it's important. Yes, you feel those things. Yes, those things can get in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart, and whatever the case may be. But we've got to do exactly what Jeremiah does here. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. So sometimes whatever's going wrong, we have to understand there are things in God's word that we recall to our mind and we recall in prayer or we recall by the word of God or maybe you might feel like everything's gone wrong now but you can remember a time that God's got you out or God's plucked you out of trouble and God maybe you feel like you're broke and you can't get through but you remember a time where God met your need and made a way where there seems no way. I want to remind you today that if he did it once, come on, somebody. He can do it again. Bless God. Are you happy today? Do you believe that? I know this is so positive. But he says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Come on, give God a shout of praise if you believe that God is faithful. He goes on. He says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This I recall. No matter what you're facing, make sure everything you deal with, everything that comes against you, everything that the enemy might do to bombard your mind, you should still hinge it on the fact, this I recall, great is your faithfulness. Another translation, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Man, I'm so pumped, I want to yell amen to my own preaching. Come on, I believe that this morning. Well, I'm trying. Amen. Who wants to give the heart to Jesus? I do. You're already saved and very powerful. Getting up and down, that's exercise. See? I should have worn my Fitbit. We call this to mind. We call this to mind today, that even in our storm, God is faithful. Even when things come against us, God is faithful. I know I'm repeating myself a little bit, and it's not because I don't have more to say. It's because I'm a pastor. It's amazing how... Yeah, fair enough. People come up to you. And sometimes you're going through a storm and it's negative, 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 negative. But it's not hinged. You don't get the but or the yet. Habakkuk, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, there's no grapes on my vine, even though the olive crop fails and my stables lie empty, he says, yet will I rejoice and be joyful in the God of my salvation. He is the strength of my life and my portion forever. He says, yet will I rejoice. That means to jump for joy. And he says, I'll be joyful. That means to spin around under the influence of violent emotion. He went mental praise. He's just jumping and spinning, even though everything's going wrong. His olive crops have failed. The cattle are dead. There's no fruit on his vine. There's nothing. So he just gets into crazy praise because he understands that maybe things might go wrong, but he knows a God who is faithful. He is a God who is able. He is a God who is good. He is a God who is supernatural. He is a God that has a plan. And I want to tell you today, no matter what we face, God, you're still faithful. I can tell you today, I look over my life and I see things that have just happened and things that I've been believing for and praying for, and I think, man, God, you're just so faithful. It's easy to say it. In the good times, it's easy to say it. When everything's going well, but there's times where life's difficult. Has anyone ever been through some difficult days? But God's faithful. God's faithful. I don't want to embarrass anyone today, but Sarah, I just have to say this. We went to dinner with Sarah and Ben Ferguson. That's Gary and Christine's daughter and son-in-law. And we went, it doesn't matter. The details aren't important. They're good people. We went to dinner with them for pizza, and they were telling us this story about the fact that they had been through IVF, I want to say eight times. Is that six times? You know, six times through IVF. Believing God for a baby for like 12 years. And it just failed. It failed. And if that's not enough to make you feel bad, Ben's sister has nine kids. Kind of rubs it in a little bit, doesn't it? 12 years. And even that night at dinner, you could without doubt know that, you know, it's disappointing and it's painful. But absolutely, and I mean this with all my heart, I'm not making it up, the confession of their mouth was one of faith. It was one of trusting God. It was one of believing God. Little did we know that when we were at dinner that night, the odds are you're either very close or probably already pregnant. And they've got a little baby here this morning by the name of Autumn, born totally by the hand of God. And I think to myself, these are real stories of people. You might feel like you're not getting what you want. 12 years. Great is the faithfulness of God. I look around this church and it's been through tough days. It's been through times. At one point, when one of the pastors left the church, this church got down to somewhere around 12 people. That is not a big church. 12 people. Imagine 12 people sitting in this room. But there were some people who trusted that God is faithful, that God would pull this through and God would do something in a broken, fractured church. And then a guy by the name of Keith Moody comes in and leads this church and the thing begins to grow. And since that time, there's been times of victory and there's been some tough days in this place, but always the hand of God's been on this church and God's got a plan for it and God's got a destiny for it. Why? Because we serve a faithful God. I'm confident it's not about a man, it's not about a person. It's about God's agenda. He's faithful to this place. And I think as some of you who are here during times where it's a miracle that we're even still standing, here's the word of the Lord. God, you are faithful. Isn't he faithful? So he writes this. He laments. Just laments. Good. Some lamentating. And you know, we look at this and you can see that God's faithfulness works in our life. And in three areas I want to look at this morning where God's faithfulness can be so evident. Number one, God's faithfulness is there, number one, when you struggle. How many people have ever struggled? Some of you struggle just to get by. Some of you struggle to live pure. Some of you struggle to live above circumstances that could easily pull you down. Some of you struggle to smile. Some of you come to church on a day like today and you got the guy next to you clapping his right legs going, he's happy. And you're standing there just coming through the door. It was a massive, massive, massive step. For you to just be in church today was a massive thing. But what happens is, even when we struggle, we can see that God is faithful. Whether it's financial, whether it's pressure, whether it's grief, whether it's depression. When your mind is flooded with difficulties, just like Jeremiah, what do? This I recall. God, great is your faithfulness. Another time that God is faithful, number two. And there's so many more. It's an inexhaustible thought. But number two is when you're tempted. I don't know if anyone has ever been tempted here. I've been tempted. I'm sure you've all been tempted. We pray, lead us not into temptation. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I'll talk to you. Let's be real for a minute. We all face temptation. Opportunity knocks. Temptation kicks the door in. Temptation is something that we all face one way or another. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You know, Pastor Keith Feebig gave advice to one of the young guys in the church maybe 2 years ago. And in no way would I want to expose anybody for going through a challenge, but I was privy to the conversation. And I remember Pastor Keith gave a phenomenal word of advice. And I'm not saying this is the only advice that he should have given, but I felt like it was awesome for this moment. And it was just it was something that I'd never heard said before that I have thought in my own life. What a great way to think and a great thing to apply to your life. A young man went up to him and asked for prayer. And this young guy, by the way, is not part of our church. He was just in the service and came to us and he said, I'm battling with internet pornography. And so Pastor Keith just gave the most gentle answer. He was full of grace and full of compassion because, firstly, we live in a world where this stuff is so easy to find and get into your world and get into your spirit. And we wonder why people have sexual issues and issues in their spirit and dealing with that stuff because it's right there. A 10-year-old, a 7-year-old can access this stuff. I don't believe they should be able to. I think there should be safeguards set by authority in the land to protect kids from that stuff because it totally corrupts the development of their sexuality and it objectifies women and it will have a terrible effect on society in years to come. But this young man did the right thing. He brought it out into the light and he said to two pastors, can you help me? And Pastor Keith said to him about temptation, he said, here's the thing, the enemy wants to lure you into this. If he tries and you just go, you know what, I'm not going to give in. Just get the victory that one time and the devil will try again. Just no, I'm not going to give in to this thing. Just keep being resolute. No, I'm not going to. He said, because the enemy's going to try and tempt you and tempt you and tempt you. There'll come a point when he realizes he can no longer lure you into this thing. He'll leave you alone and move on to something else. And I want to encourage us as the people of God, whatever the temptation may be, that we've got to resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee. And so if we keep resisting and saying, Lord God, give us strength. Give me strength. God, I believe that you can do this in my life. Help me, God. Help me have victory. Maybe there's stuff in your world that nobody knows about. And I'm not here to try and make you feel guilty or anything like that. I'm just here to say, you know something, let's get a fresh resolve in our spirit to resist temptation and trust that God is faithful to help us in that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It always gets quiet when you start talking about pornography, doesn't it? But whatever the thing is in your life, God is bigger than it. He loves you. He doesn't think you're gross. He doesn't think you're dirty. He doesn't think you're messed up. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves you and he wants to help you in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Thank you. Snaps for Jesus. God is faithful. Number three, and maybe another time that God is faithful. Number three is when you mess up. He's faithful. He's devoted to you. When you get it wrong, when you get it, when you when you have messed up, not only ask God for his help to deliver you from temptation, but remember that we serve a faithful God who says his mercies are new every morning. They are new. His mercies are new every morning. What does it say? Great is thy faithfulness. Every day you wake up, see who woke up with you. Goodness and mercy. Mercy of God. I love the mercy of God because I know what I deserved. I deserved hell. I deserved judgment. I deserved separation from him. But God in his goodness, God in his kindness and his faithfulness, he says, I'm going to give you mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. What do I deserve? All the things I've just said. But not only does he pour out mercy, he pours out grace. Grace is giving you what you didn't deserve. Mercy removes you from what you deserved. Grace gives you what you didn't deserve. I've sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God. I deserve hell. Mercy says, no hell. Boom. Fantastic. But grace kicks in and says, heaven, eternal life, the goodness of God, answered prayer, fellowship with Jesus. Talk about the faithfulness of God. As I was studying this, I read the story of a young man who was an atheist and training to be an Olympic diver. And the only Christian influence of in his life was a Christian friend that he had. And this friend would always say, you need to get saved, man. You need to give your heart to Jesus. And this Olympic diver, he said, leave me alone. He was closed. Just didn't want to hear it. And so this kept going. And the diver kept saying to his friend, loud and clear, just leave me alone. Stop. Just don't go there. I've had enough. But how many know that sometimes what you're pushing away isn't necessarily the friend talking to you, it's the conviction of God. And so the story goes that one night he goes to the diving board to practice his diving. It's at night time and it's a moonlit night, so there was enough light for him to do what he wanted to do. So he gets ready to dive, and as he stands with his arms out, he sees the reflection from the moon somehow shining upon a wall near the pool, and he sees himself, and he sees a figure of a cross as he's about to dive, and he sees the figure of the cross, and the anointing of God comes on him. And so he, on the edge of that diving board, gets on his knees, cries out to God for salvation, and God saves him. He feels the presence of God. There's a breakthrough from heaven that comes into his world. And so he has a God encounter, gets ready to dive. As he gets ready to dive, the lights come on in the swimming pool and the cleaner decides to come in and clean. And he looks down and he realizes that all of the water in the pool had been emptied for cleaning. Isn't that incredible? And by a miracle from God, he gave his heart to Jesus. I don't know of many shadows that I've cast on a wall based on moonlight. But what I do know is we serve a supernatural God who makes a way and spared this man's life. Great is thy faithfulness. Come on, if you believe that God's faithful. Come on, if you believe that God's faithful, can we give God a shout of praise in here today? Can we magnify his name and glorify his name and lift up his name? Let's all stand this morning. We're going to worship God.